Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Orient Cement Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashree. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Orient Cement. From the management, we have with us MD and CEO Mr. Deepak Khetrapal. So without any further ado, I hand over the call to Mr. Khetrapal for his opening comments, followed by interactive Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Navin. And good afternoon, all the participants who've already joined in. I'm told the number is still going up, but I think we don't want to keep the people who joined in time waiting. So a very warm welcome to this earnings call. Happy to have you here, and thankful to all of you to take time out and listen to us. In terms of, I think, the Q1 FY24 performance, the most important thing that I'd perhaps like to start with, which was actually towards the end of my call that I did on Q4, where I'd already indicated that this Q1, on the surface, is likely to look soft. I had sort of, in a way, made the disclosure three months ago itself, and this is how it pans out to be. I'm using the word carefully. It'll look like it's softer. I think the numbers that you've seen, you would have actually seen that while we are reporting a very strong growth on volumes, in terms of EBITDA, we are obviously, the numbers look a little soft. So here is the perspective which I started building last quarter itself. So we actually went through the planned shutdown of the kiln at Chittapur and Gulbarga, where we have, that's the only kiln, and that plant is very far away from everything else. So the maintenance shutdown of that kiln actually has a lot more impact on our operations compared to anything else. And this particular year, we have done the maintenance of the kiln and the supporting equipment after nearly 23 months, because the last shutdown of that kiln was actually in April 2021, which is unheard of in the cement industry, including the suppliers of the equipment. They're surprised how we managed to sort of keep working with the same kiln without doing the shutdown and replacement of refractory for that long. But I think that's something that we take a great amount of pride in. But at the same time, what happened was, by the time we decided to take the shutdown, it was also a time in the market. Q1 typically happens to be a buoyant quarter. But we were left with no option. Having run it for nearly 23 months, I don't think we could have taken any further risk with it. So we finally took the maintenance shutdown in April. Like I said, the impact of that on our books, obviously, is one, what is euphemistically called annual shutdown. Actually, most of the industry does it in about 270 days of running. But since it's done on an average once in a year, it's called annual. I can't call it annual because we actually done it after nearly 2 years. So it has a bunch of costs that happen. The entire refractory gets replaced. All the other equipment are overhauled and repaired. So it's a fairly large cost that hits the books of the company in one particular month, whereas the benefits of that obviously flow into the rest of the year. That's why it's called the annual shutdown. So that's one, I think, part of the framework that we have to remember. For us, the other challenge was because not only did we have, for example, if we do the same maintenance at Devapur, we don't have other complications because we have three kilns, and we can plan the inventories of both clinker and cement so that we don't see much of a problem in availability of cement. But around the Chittapur plant, we have earlier also, I mentioned last quarter, I had told you that we had actually worked at a capacity which was higher than the capacity which is given to under the consent to operate document that we have. So where the demand was buoyant, and more importantly, some of the customers who have become very heavily dependent on our cement because their processes are run with our quality of cement, we did not have the option to let them down. And as a result of that, we didn't regret any of our large loyal customers. We actually, every single bag of cement that they needed, every single 10 ton of cement that they needed, we made sure that we make available to them. That we could do when the kiln at Chittagong was shut only by transporting clinker from our other plant, which is in Telangana, Devapur as we keep calling it. So obviously there's a huge amount of, I would say, movement of clinker that we had to make. Totally nearly 72,000 tons of clinker was used at Chittagong, which is actually produced in Devapur in the month of April, besides the inventory that we've already built up at Chittagong. Now it's, I mean, it's a matter of pride for us that our customer who depend on us, we managed to meet their entire demand. And we took the costs as a part of remaining in the market, maintaining our relationship with the customer. So those relationships have even become stronger. Look, every customer was aware that our kiln was not there and clinker was not available. But they know that no matter what it costed to us, we met the entire demand, which I'm sure goes towards strengthening our relationship with those customers even further. And they also saw, we keep, if you read our annual report, we keep talking about responsibility, we keep talking about agility. So all those things we actually demonstrate, not just talking within ourselves in the company, but they, our customers get to see it all the time. So which is something that we do take a great amount of pride in. At the same time, you know, some of the markets which in the overall process fall somewhere between our Telangana plant and our Gulbarga, Karnataka plant, we also decided to service those markets directly from the Telangana plant, although they are closer to the our Chittagong plant, which means our logistics cost per ton also gets a little distorted for the time that we made these rearrangements. So with all these challenges, we have reported, as you've already noticed, the volume growth over last year of 15%. Sequentially, yes, there is a degrowth of 7%, but that I believe all of us do expect that Q4 numbers are always the highest in Q4, while it trails Q4, but it does not quite become a Q4. So 7% degrowth there. I would say people largely, we obviously have been seeing the industry numbers. Some of the players have reported higher growths. But I believe those higher growths are being reported courtesy of the new capacity that has got added during the year. I don't think from the same facility, same capacity, people are achieving the kind of growth that we've reported. Subject to correction, that's my impression. Now the part which I think the investors would certainly not be happy, because we are also not happy, that despite such strong demand, the prices in the market actually have stayed flattish with a little bit, I would say, softer bias. As a result of that, some of the, let's say, initiatives that I've been talking about in the past in terms of repositioning our brand, in terms of also moving up the sales of our premium products, both Strongcrete and Orient Green now. Courtesy of all of that, YOY, we have managed to maintain our realizations almost there. I mean, we are a shade under 5,200 rupees a ton, which is flat over last year. But what I understand, some people are actually taken by surprise that Q&Q we've reported a higher realization than we had in the preceding quarter, that is Q4. Now, this obviously has enabled us to report also a revenue growth of 15%. And the sequential shrinkage in rupees terms in terms of turnover, we managed to contain that to 6% against the loss of revenue or decrease in revenue of over 7%. So that's on the sales and the volume side. But on the maintenance of trade costs, I've already mentioned the impact that is there. The EBITDA for the quarter, which has shown, I think it was 103 crores, it's flat over last year. While on the surface, as I said, this might look a little soft, but if you actually account for the fact and make a more apple-to-apple comparison, I think I'm not saying these costs are abnormal. Please don't misunderstand me. These costs are not abnormal. Kiln maintenance costs are normal part of the operations of the company. It's just that if they get booked in 1 month or 1 quarter, and for us that 1 quarter happens to be rather big, so I'm highlighting that part. But typically, I would say if I was to look at total costs of maintenance and transportation, of clinker and the impact of realigning some of the customers with the Telangana plant instead of Sitapur plant, which is closer. Our total cost for the quarter would be just on that about 20 crores and for the quarter. And also the other thing that we had mentioned, that we had actually engaged the services of McKinsey to do a certain amount of validation of our investment hypothesis, doing a little bit of more market research in terms of how we are faring with competition in those individual markets. So that cost also has been booked the same quarter. So the 23-24 crores of a little bit distortion. Please don't take that. McKinsey cost is a one-off cost for sure. The transportation cost increase, clinker transport from Devapur to Chicago is a one-off cost. That's not going to be repeated then. But the maintenance costs are part of the cycle of the cement industry. So I'm just reminding people that we need to remember, despite taking nearly 25 crores in additional costs over last year's same quarter, we still are reporting flat EBITDA. So that's something that I thought I'll just highlight here. What would surprise you, and I know because typically the commentary in the market by all the investors and all of you analysts also has been around the fact that the international fuel prices are low and so we should benefit. And that would surprise you when you see that our fuel prices let's say sequentially they are not that much down, and even over the June 22, that means YOY also, they're not looking as low as we should have expected, right, given the softening of international fuel prices. I'm emphasizing the word international because while the international fuel prices, both coal and pet coke have definitely dropped, what we have to remember is in the meantime, the domestic coal prices have actually gone up. And the fact of the matter is, I'm sure the many plants in the industry in India are still using dependent on coal, which is being supplied by Coal India and Singareni Collieries and other companies. In our case, as most of you who've been attending our calls, we've been informing you that our Devapur plant in Telangana, because of its proximity to Singareni coal mines, depends almost entirely on domestic coal. Whereas the Karnataka Chitapur plant, that runs more or less entirely on the pet coke. So this mix of different fuels, the two different plants, is the reason behind the improvement in fuel cost not being visible. Please remember, in April, our Chitapur plant was shut. So the overall pet coke consumed there was lower. So savings at Chitapur itself became lower because nearly a month out of three, we did not use pet coke. On top of that, the additional clinker that we transported, 72,000 tons, that were actually produced in Devapur, where we use more domestic coal, exclusive domestic coal. So the nuances are important to see behind the numbers. Our proportion of domestic coal consumption went up in this particular quarter, which if you compare the domestic coal prices, they have actually gone up during the year by 17 to 18% over the same quarter last year. Right, and if we make a similar comparison, at Chitapur, obviously the petco prices are lower by 14% over quarter. Now, these are actual prices. Domestic prices up 17-18%, coal prices, and the international petco prices as we receive them are down about 14%. So which is a fact and which is there, but it's not getting reflected in power and fuel cost, which should have been softer. And the second reason, which is important also to remember, is that this is a combination of power and fuel. Two states during this particular quarter, Maharashtra and also Karnataka, they have changed their prices on the grid power. And despite having solar power at Jalgaon and despite having our captive power plant in Chitapur, we do have some committed loads from the grid, because just in case of any failure, we do not want to be completely powerless. So we obviously make a certain commitment to the governments, to the state electricity boards, and they keep us connected, and they have fairly steep fixed charges, which we still have to incur even if we don't draw enough or any power from them. So and those costs have actually been increased during this quarter. So power costs have gone up. Coal, including for CPP, has gone up. That's all domestic coal. And as a result of that, the power and fuel number, I thought, needed a little bit of explanation, so I've taken a few extra minutes just to explain to you why that looks the way it looks. Obviously, the impact of international fuel prices has got blunted with the plant mix in this particular quarter and with the coal, the fuel mix that we have had to use. If you just want to sort of, if you're curious about the number, at our Devapur plant, the overall fuel costs, not counting power, the fuel costs for the kiln, they're down to about 19.25 per million kilocalories, and down by nearly 9%. And at Chittapur, on landed cost, million calorie basis, they are down about 12%. The power and fuel cost put together is up despite this, and that is led by the fuel mix that we have had to use. In the raw material side, the transportation cost for transport of clinker has been part, obviously, as accounting norms are in the raw materials, because we use a landed cost of raw materials. So some costs are parked in the raw material also. And besides that, obviously, some gypsum and fly ash costs also have gone up, both on YOY and QYQ on quarter-on-quarter basis. Also, there's been a little bit of difficulty in improving our alternative fuels on which we are beginning to depend a lot more. But in the last quarter, we did not get as much supply of alternative fuels as we would have wanted to. As a result of that, what I reported 13% being the AFR percentage for us in the previous quarter has actually been a little less at 12%. The renewable power that we've used at Jalgaon is as high as 64% in this particular quarter. The benefit that we are seeing in the solar power that we are buying at Jalgaon now as obviously has encouraged us to invest more in the supply of captive solar power, for which you would have seen we made an announcement a few weeks ago. We've signed a new agreement to add another 21 odd megawatts of solar power in a captive capacity basis, on which we acquired about 28% of the SPV company, which will be setting it up. And that agreement is signed with the company called Cleantech Solar, which is Singapore based. It happens to be a joint venture of Shell, the oil company. So, and we got very, very competitive rates when it comes to setting up and supply of solar power, which they have committed to start supplying to us in about 9 months from the time we signed the agreement. So these are the, I would say, broad highlights for the quarter. Another highlight for the quarter, at least we internally in the company feel very good about it, because it's more about the kind of company we are and we want to be. In this quarter, we also received we received it a little while ago, the certification continuously for many years now, again, as a great place to work, with the scores which actually are surprisingly in the 90s already, with nearly every single employee working with the company participating in the survey process. So we are a great place to work again, certified. Not only that, we've jumped, let's say, last year we were just outside of the top 100 companies in India. This year we've got the rank of 70th. Company in the ranking, which includes all companies which undertake this survey. And we are the only company from the cement industry in the top 100 list. We are delighted because we take a huge amount of pride in our culture, in our, the way we are as an organization, and our annual reports every year that we send out. We do try and introduce the story of Orient Cement as an organization beyond what we do as a business. And I'm sure all of you would have seen this year's annual report as well. And we continue with the theme of being responsible and being agile. The theme of responsibility actually is a further amplification of, I would say, our effort that we made in terms of launching another premium brand, Orient Green. As all of you know, we launched that a few months ago. And that cement is called the responsible cement for the responsible consumer. And the sense of responsibility, we wanted to link it to what else we do, and that's why the annual report theme is completely aligned with who we are and what we do, including being a great place to work for people. And that's the reason, as a result, we are having perhaps an excellent collection of top talent from the cement industry who is proud to be working here. On the customer mix side, there's always a curiosity and a valid curiosity. So I may give you the answer before it gets asked. In this quarter also, the B2C demand has remained soft. If we have achieved, a large amount of growth has actually come from the B2B demand, and again, largely to large infrastructure projects where we continue to be a preferred customer, and also a fairly large number of the ready-mix plant operators who want our cement more and more. As a result, and the good news here is that in the past, OPC, in terms of contribution-wise, it was not as accretive as PPC, the blended cement. But fortunately, with the good quality and the good demand, good relationship with the customers, we are transparent with them on our costing, and we're making sure that the contributions on the OPC that we sell from Chittapur actually are in no way less than the PPC contribution. So that's the reason why we'll encourage to keep meeting OPC. Most of the time, we were earlier not selling that much OPC, simply because the contributions there used to fall below PPC. But for us now, last few quarters consecutively, including this quarter, our contributions of OPC sold at Chittapur are higher than PPC. So we continue to sort of, in a way, accept those orders and keep selling. In terms of the B2C sales, obviously, inversely saying B2B, so B2C sales with last year around this time was 56%, with only 44% being B2B. This year, with this quarter, we've seen the B2C actually have fallen to 47%, with 53% being B2B, which is, like I said, beyond 50%, we never expected it to go. But if the contributions keep coming in, I think we are okay. It still has one side effect, and with that side effect is that it consumes more of clinker, and we have a consent to operate limitation on the clinker that we can produce. So we are very well aware of that pressure, and hopefully we'll have solutions for that like we had last year also. But in terms of contributions, we are doing fine there. The OPC as a percentage, customer mix I've already given you, is 47 B2C or rather trade sales and 53% B2B. On the product mix, OPC is 45% in this quarter, which was 41% last year. So some B2B sales also happen with PPC, that's an indication. So it's not exactly equivalent of the B2B demand. In the B2C market, as I mentioned, despite the fact it keeps remaining slow, we are happy about one aspect, that is in the lower B2C demand also, our premium products put together, Strongcrete and Orient Green, actually have a 34% year-on-year growth. If we add volumes of Strongcrete and Orient Green in this quarter, over the same quarter last year, we are up by 34%. And the premium products today are forming 20% and over. We just started crossing 20% overall in premium product sales of our B2C volumes. This is despite the fact that our B2C volumes sequentially actually have dropped 7.5%. It basically means that our value proposition of premium products continues to be attractive to our customers, and we expect our revenues and volumes from the premium products to keep rising, keep helping us overcome the challenge of market prices, which remain under pressure most of the time. And obviously for that, maintaining our positioning well, if there are some compromises, I call them investments or sacrifices, to be made in the volume of volume that we sell, because we still refuse many orders which do not give us a certain price that we demand and a certain contribution that we demand. So that strategy is unwavering. The net, I think, implication of what I've told you about OPC-PPC mix, it basically means that Chittapur once again will be under pressure towards the end of the year to meet the OPC demand given the consent to operate. We are hopeful that with the new applications that we have moved for additional capacity creation, if those approvals are in hand, then the consent to operate limitation of Chittapur will not apply, because the new approval will come with a higher permission to us to do more mining and more production of clinker. So we're trying to solve that problem on a proactive basis. But it does mean that we need to get those permissions, and we also, the moment we get the permissions, as you know, we also want to start the construction activity at Chittapur for the second line that we planned already. Other important, I would say, update which I must share with you, our waste heat recovery plant, which quite honestly we were expecting that we'll get the power by before end of June, it has suffered a few more weeks of delay because of some additional problem that cropped up when we started commissioning it. But the good news is it is now under final stages of commissioning on the what they call the steam blowing, which has to happen for 50, 60 times every day. We are trying that. So hope we are expecting now that within the next couple of weeks, within the month of August, the waste heat recovery plant will start giving us power, a large amount of power. Actually, the waste heat recovery plants have two different segments to it. The major power comes from the heat which we take from the cooler to the kiln, and some part also from the preheater. So preheater part, which is nearly 20%, may be delayed by another 4 weeks, but within August, we should get the power from the, at least the cooler waste heat. And as we always anticipate, the savings from this are going to be about 3 crores plus per month. So they're very, very important project for us to commission at this stage. The fly ash rake handling system that we had said earlier is operational. We have tried bringing in fly ash by rakes even from far off plants, and we've seen that it's working well. As long as the fly ash is available from nearby plants, we are okay to transport it by trucks. But the moment we run into a problem, and that's the this is basically a risk mitigation measure that we have taken. So that also is ready and has already been commissioned. We are using it. Region-wise, our exposure to West have gone up even further. In this particular quarter, our total sales to West are at 62%, which was 55% last year. So anybody who still believes we are a South-based company, this is a wake-up call. We are 62% in West and we are 10% in Central. So 72% of sales of Orient Cement actually come from non-South markets. I just thought I'll call it out because many people still call it, oh, you're a South-based company. Yeah, I mean, I say, yeah, with 72% sales in non-South states. Our fuel mix, as I mentioned, this quarter has actually become 53% domestic coal, which was 43% last year, and the reason behind that I've already explained. And as a corollary, petcoke is down to 36% from 42% last year in this quarter. Our cost management, like I said, has not suffered any setback, although in the quarterly results, it will appear as if we've incurred a lot more cost than you people expect us to do. But there are absolutely clear reasons for them. And as things are normalizing now, we'll get back to the same efficiency and the cost. Efficiencies have always been intact. The cost has changed because of, like I said, the plant mix changing and the fuel mix changing there. I really, at the end, I think another update which all of you do look for is our borrowing status. Our bank borrowings are now down to, I'll talk about the project borrowings, against CAPEX borrowings. They are at 203 crores as of 30th June. And another, I think, 3 quarters left, and that old one will be done. And now the new borrowings that we have against the waste recovery plant and the fly ash handling system, those I think around 100 crores will be payable over a longer period of time. Net working capital from the banks, net of cash in hand, was down to 55 crores. So if you take a debt in that sense, it was 250 crores at the end of 30th June. Prospects looking forward, I do believe the prospects remain strong, although the extremely heavy rains that most of you yourself experience in a city like Bombay, they have had a dampening impact on the project work all around. So July has obviously had a setback from the very heavy rains that happened all across our markets. I'm not giving you the numbers, but yeah, the demand is as not as buoyant as it should have been given the momentum in the previous quarter. Early August still, we are beginning to see some relief from the rains. And as a result, some pickup in demand obviously is happening because the projects who keep waiting, they won't be cement to be consumed further. So I stay very positive about that. The energy prices have been softening, and the full impact of that softening, as all of us know, would start emerging as the year progresses as we consume the old inventory. Our petcoke last shipload that we had, we've already started consuming out of that, and we are well covered for from today. Depends on how much is the demand in the market. I think from minimum 2 to about 3 months petcoke fuel we already have. Now, as a result of that, we obviously have not been able to avail of the window when this petcoke prices were down to very, very close to $100 a ton, because we just didn't have the need to book that. And in the meantime, we started looking up at about $100, $102 a ton. We haven't seen any transactions happening from India. nor were we in a position to book. And I think that's why, because there was no buyer in the market, the prices came down. As we return to the markets, a little bit of uptick will happen in the petco prices. That's our reading. But they'll still be much lower than our last purchased petco. And that should help going forward. The railroad mix-wise, I think we've been facing some policies from railways which have not been very friendly towards using them. As a result of that, the cement transported using the railway has gone down to 15%. At one point in time, we were doing 20% plus, it's down to 15%. That broadly would be my commentary. The CAPEX schedule that we had given, we continue to sort of face a slower response from the government departments to our papers that have been moved for approvals. Pushing them hard, but it's still taking time. I'm still hopeful that we'll be able to, you know, start the work in the third quarter, as we are considering, maybe not early third quarter, but towards the end of third quarter. Assuming approvals come in hand, we do want to start Chittapur very, very quickly. And the last piece on the project, which was very contingent till the last time, it's now firmed up a lot. The new grinding unit that we've been talking about in Madhya Pradesh area to be able to cater to the central market and there from there to parts of the North India market. I think that site is more or less sort of closed in the sense that we already have had meetings, you know, minutes of meetings have been signed. And the other party to the agreement on whose premises we will be putting up the grinding unit, they are now in the process of seeking an approval from their board of directors. Subject to that proposal coming in, we'll sign up an agreement very, very quickly and start applying for the clearances. I'm talking about that grinding unit more from the perspective of, one, getting the much-needed diversification in our market exposure, and also to start the work for line 4 at Devapur in Telangana, which will be feeding that grinding unit. So that is, since that is interlinked, I thought I'll start with the update on the grinding unit getting closer to sign up. Is now the process is only going on for the board approvals, and hopefully the board will see merit in allowing us to come in and put up the grinding unit there. And that will trigger the need for line 4 immediately. Rajasthan project, again, the update is that all the mines, although the mining lease has been restored by the government, but unfortunately this mining lease, given the coordinates that used to be there when this mining lease was given to us more than 30 years ago, and now everything is digital. And so when they did the digital measurement of that, they found that in the plot of land on which the mining lease is there with all the coordinates, the area that they had granted to us, the area comes to be about 5 hectares more than what the mining lease was. And for the 5 hectares, they need to go back to all the way to the state minister of mines to get their approval, which hopefully, in fact, my person is still even today sitting in Jaipur, and we're trying to get that out, so that at least that part is, because when the coordinates are finally frozen in the form of a mining lease, only then we want to start acquisition of land, because in the meantime, otherwise we'll end up complicating matters. The small little, it looks like a small detail, but when it comes to mining leases, even 1 meter of mining lease is critical for the government to have the details absolutely right. And we would rather sort that out now rather than do it at a later point in time. So that's my opening remarks always happen to be a lot longer, but I try and obviate the need for questions coming up. I try and answer as many questions as I can think answers for. So I'll stop here, and I'm open to the questions that will still be there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, would like to compliment you on very impressive details in the annual report with regards to various green energy initiatives and also your premiumization efforts. So my first question is on the WHRS plant. So this 3 crore per month saving I mean, are we expected to get that at least for 6-7 months in this year, or there is also a ramp-up schedule, and you also detailed about some delays in few parts of the plant. So what sort of, say, FY24 is available for that, and the 3 crore should be fully available per month in FY25. Is that the right understanding?
Yes, absolutely. So on the delay part, since you mentioned, assuming that in August we start drawing power, as I mentioned to you, that will be 80%. So maybe in the month of September or maybe early October, it may be slightly less. But towards the end of the year, when the entire 10 megawatts start becoming available, we'll still be able to meet the targets on an average of 3 crores a month. Yeah. And FY25, you can certainly take it that way.
Got it. So at least from fourth quarter, January onwards, this should be the run rate of saving.
Yes.
Got that. So second question is on the sequencing of these various projects. I'm a bit confused. So one is we are starting or hoping to start Chittapur expansion by 3Q. As per my understanding, please, if you would like to confirm that. And also, land acquisition at MP is still not started, but we have kind of frozen the land. So are we, I mean, planning to then parallelly invest both in Chittapur and Devapur branding and clinker line, or is it going to be sequenced one after the other?
Okay, let me sort of provide maybe clarity on that. So Chittapur is something where we only are awaiting some approvals which have all been applied for, right? So that's simpler, and that the need for more clinker is much higher at Chittapur. So Chittapur will be in the sequence, it will be the number one. Okay. When it comes to land for the grinding unit in Madhya Pradesh that I spoke about, we don't have to acquire that land. We are talking to a counterparty who has the land, who are agreeing to give the land to us. But as I have said, they are in the process of obtaining the approval from their board. The moment the board gives the approval to sign the agreement, we already have the land, land with us, because that company is going to give us the land, has that land in their control. So we don't have to acquire anything for that. In fact, it may not be even acquiring of land on ownership basis. They're actually going to give the land to a right to use agreement. Okay? Which will be a long-term agreement. And we can apply for the environment clearance for that grinding unit only when we have that agreement of right to use. So I can't even start applying for that clearance. And once I apply and get the clearance and start the activity for grinding unit in Madhya Pradesh, only then I need line 4 in Devapur. Is sequencing now getting understood a little better?
Yeah, got that. And sir, at Chittapur, grinding also is coming, right? So it's 3 million ton grinding and 2 million ton.
Clinker, that's right. So expansion at Chittapur is absolutely right. 2 million tons clinker, 1 million ton, 3 million tons of grinding. Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, from a 3 to 5 year point of view, I mean, say next 2 years, we're looking to close Chittapur, then Devapur should start, and then eventually the Rajasthan mining assets will be in place to start with Rajasthan, right? So that should be the pecking order, right?
Excepting that, there will be some parallel costs which will be incurred even for the grinding unit plus Devapur as a combination, as I explained in the last quarter's call, which basically I would just sort of tell you why I'm saying so. One, the capex that we need to incur for I did explain, and I guess most of you are aware that the mines in Devapur are the forest area where the forest clearance is in the process. The moment we get stage one clearance for forest, we have to actually deposit a significant sum of money, 140, 150 crores, with the forest department, who will use this money for afforestation of the land elsewhere. So that capex obviously will happen in parallel. Although we are not doing construction activity, but capex I need to do to get my stage 2 forest clearance. Right? So that will be capitalized with Devapur, although you might say technically there are no commercial activity or erection activity on. So similarly, there will be some expenses which will start getting incurred for Devapur and the grinding unit combination. But that also, to my mind, will happen only when the major activity or major investment in Chittapur is getting over, because sequencing-wise, the environment approvals and all do take time.
Got it. So for full year, would you like to give any number, any range of CapEx for FY 2024 and 2025?
See, FY 2024, in fact, I had already sort of in the last quarter also, I don't think I'm going back. We had said total about 1,000 crore in FY 2024 is what our ambition has been, because only then we meet our requirement for clinker in time, which largely we had said about, you know, under multiple projects. We talked about 600 crore at Chittapur. We talked about 150 odd crore for Devapur, the forest clearance and mines clearance and everything. We talked about saying we might spend close to 100 crore towards acquisition of land in Rajasthan, and there are already some maintenance and the waste recovery that's going on here. So there are multiple projects all put together. We had said FY 2024, we were saying 1,000 crore. Now, whether that remains 1,000, that becomes 750-800 crore is a matter of when we receive the clearances. But our intention, our effort would be that we start spending CapEx soon, because that will determine how quickly we get the additional capacities.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. This is very clear, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. First question pertains to, you explained on the fuel cost and why it went up. Could you share the fuel cost in per million cal number for the quarter, Q1?
Oh, how will that help you? You need to know my cost of how I'm sort of doing it. But anyway, since you people get into nitty-gritty, which you can't even relate to the reality, I'll give you the number if you wish.
Sure, sir.
I have the number, which is readily available with me, for two individual plants. I'm just looking through. At Devapur, in the last quarter, we had $1,925, and at Chittapur, it's $2,340.
Sorry, 19. Okay, this is 1,925. Okay, 1.92, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, and Chittapur is $2,340, which is imported pet coke.
2340?
Yeah.
Okay. And, sir, this Chittapur costing is higher, right, compared to Devapur?
Yes, because, you know, Devapur has mines nearby. Chittapur has no mines nearby. It's a landed cost.
Right.
Please, please understand, I'm giving you a landed cost million.
Yeah, yeah, understood. Because you have the linkage coal there, the costing is much better.
More than linkage, more than linkage is the transportation on the coal.
Transportation, okay. And this Devapur. And sir, what is the trend you are looking at for these numbers, you know, in Q2 or, maybe in Q3? Do you see, you mentioned that the domestic coal prices are, you know, rather gone up, whereas you, there's some expectations of cost savings, you know, to flow through in the, imported coal and pet coke. So what is the trend you are looking at?
The same, I personally do not think the domestic coal prices will increase again in the next two quarters. I don't expect them to. There's no reason for them to increase them. And pet coke prices actually should stay soft compared to when we purchased last, right? Because the prices, even today, we're talking about in the range of more 115, 118, 120, right? Which is a lot cheaper than what we were buying coke, pet coke earlier. So I do expect pet coke prices to, our next procurement, to be at a cost which will perhaps be about 20% less than what we did last time. And domestic coal prices, I don't expect them to go up anymore.
Okay. And so this next procurement would be coming up for consumption by when? This 20% local coal.
Towards November, October and November.
Okay. And sir, this AFR cost, how are they currently? Because I remember earlier they used to be less than 1 rupee, you know, and then it shot up to 1.5 rupee odd. So what is the current cost trend that you're looking at?
My own, let's say, reading of it, it always is we have to remember, AFR is not one fuel.
Right.
Alternative fuels, we have five, six different kinds of fuel coming. Some of them fairly, if you look at, let's say, carbon black, which happens to be the most expensive, right? People who buy carbon black, they will still incur more than 1.5.
Okay.
People who buy rice husk, and if they are around the rice mills who are doing it, that comes cheaper. If you're far away, it becomes more expensive. If you are using hazardous waste, you actually may get there a negative cost also. So it's all a combination of multiple AFRs. For us, it will be more in the region of 1.2.
Okay. Okay. And sir, your annual target of 6.3, 6.4 million ton, this remains?
We are keeping that absolutely. In fact, I'm not letting my sales effort go any soft to.
Correct. And lastly, on this CapEx guide, 1,000 crore, where you mentioned 600 crore Devapur, no, that will only start once you get the stage one forest clearance.
Rajesh, don't confuse everybody.
Sorry, Chittapur.
Don't confuse everybody.
I know. This Chittapur 600 crore will start only, you know, when the stage one is received. So do you see some risk?
Rajesh, you are completely confused.
Mm-hmm.
Stage one is for Devapur forest clearance. Chittapur is not a forest area.
Okay,
Chittapur is
okay.
Waiting for environment clearance.
Okay, understood. So this is already
Chittapur
clear.
Is environment clearance being awaited. Devapur is forest clearance being awaited, along with the grinding unit being awaited. So stage one, stage two is only for forests.
Okay. So at Chittapur, the 600 crore, there are no major deviation you're looking at for this financial year.
I wish we don't have a variation because I need the capacity to start coming up soon.
And sir, lastly, on this lead distance which you mentioned, 300 kilometers, if you could give sense, is this primary lead or secondary lead when you mentioned 300 kilometers?
The secondary remains more or less constant. If the primary which goes up, depending on the market mix, for example, if in the, as I told you, in the Q1, if I sold a customer which was closer to Chittapur, I've sold him cement from Devapur because I didn't have there. Obviously, the lead has gone up, right? Because I'm supplying the cement from a farther away plant. So it's
mm-hmm.
I would say it's always the primary that when we dump the material in that market, from there, secondary is always short hauls all around it. We use small vehicles and things like that. This is all primary. When we talk
okay.
about 300, around 300, little over 300, it's always our primary.
Okay, and secondary would be less than 50 kilometers. Is that understanding right?
Absolutely. Otherwise, we'll open a new depot and send it there, no?
Correct, sir. Great. That's all from my end for now. We'll come back into you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to see, you know, the premium cement sale is picking up. Can you give some sense about how are the margins in premium versus other cements? And also, is there a margin differential between the strong creed which you have been selling from long years and between Orient Green, the more sort of a recently launched cement?
Our Orient Green is which we introduced just a few months ago. That is midway between our PPC cement and our Strongcrete. Strongcrete we sell at 45 rupees higher than our PPC, and Orient Green is priced at 25 rupees plus. So it's a premium product, but not as high. So now today our Strongcrete is a super premium product, and the premium is Orient Green.
Okay, understood. And what was the fuel mix for the quarter?
We're back to the same question again.
Okay.
It never changes. No, something never changes. What did I say earlier? Fuel mix for the quarter, once again, I'm repeating for everybody else. Please don't ask me again. 53% domestic coal in this quarter, and pet coke 36%. And balance is AFR, if you will.
Okay.
So this is the, excluding AFR, this is 53, 54 is the fossil fuel that we are using. 53 and 36.
Okay. One last question from my side. The SVV which you will get the power, what would be the cost of that power?
This is contractual details right now. It will be on significant savings from the grid price. It's linked to what the grid price will be and what will be the margin for us. I can't reveal that at this stage. But there's definitely, I've given you the savings that we're having in Jalgaon already, and that's what encouraged us to go more for it.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Raghav from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand primarily the Maharashtra market, which is our key prime market, because according to my understanding, we are selling almost 50% plus in volume into the Maharashtra. The last two capacity addition which have done into the Maharashtra is almost at a level of 35-40% utilization at the industry level. Now again, Ambuja is adding almost 6 million ton in the Maharashtra, other than the Mumbai market, which is primarily your core region of Vidarbha, Marathwada, Khandesh, and Pune. How will you see further 2 years down the line, the Maharashtra particularly market as a, in the profitability term, in the pricing term, rest of the Mumbai?
Well, it's you're talking about the supply side. We also have to remember that the demand side to the equation, isn't it? The way the demand has been growing in these markets obviously has encouraged people to put up more capacity. If the demand was not that high, who would want to put up capacity? While we very quickly are able to calculate the new capacity coming in, we are not adding. Maharashtra, as it is the largest market in India, if it keeps growing at the percentage it's growing today, obviously the demand in Maharashtra will be far higher than the other places, and the capacity for us will be catering to that. While it's a matter of concern, for sure, in short term, new people coming in, they obviously want to utilize their capacity faster. As things settle down over a period of time, the market just absorbs the capacity. That's how we've seen every time a new capacity has come up in any neighborhood, exactly the same story pans out. Few months, few quarters, you see the impact, and then it flies back to normal because they're also there to do the business only.
You will see Maharashtra as a safe market for a future term also?
Yes, I would. Because I personally don't see the growth in Maharashtra disappearing anytime soon. It's the demand growth which keeps me hopeful. While the capacities coming, it always look like threats. Everybody is finally looking, when they're making a CapEx, they're doing their own calculation and their own hypothesis. And they know that we already exist with lower costs. They also are coming there to make a return on their investment. And that's why things over a period of time, no matter how dangerous it looks. I always keep reminding people about the time that we were putting up our Chitapur plant in Gulbarga. Everybody used to tell me, there is Rajshree next to you, there is ACC Wadi next to you, Shree Cement is coming next door, Vasanta is there. How will you survive? And I'm telling you, we need more clinker there now. How did that happen? This is a story. This is how businesses go.
Got it, sir. Sir, what is the, just last question from my side, what is your estimation for a commissioning side for the Chitapur and the fourth line of the Devapur and the MP grinding unit? What is the, in the product term?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Sir, what is the estimated deadline to completion for the Chitapur line 2 and the Devapur line 4?
Typically speaking, the brownfield project, we want to commission within 15 months from the date of start of construction. Okay? Let's assume for the moment that we are starting that on 1st of January 2024. 15 months from there, we should commission Chitapur. 15 months is what we will take as erection time for a brownfield expansion. For a greenfield grinding unit, because the pure grinding unit, that also can be achieved in about 15 to 18 months because still utilities, other than the railway siding, needs to get built in a grinding unit. At places like Chitapur, you don't even have to build a railway siding. It's already there. I would consider the other one to be more like 18 months than 15, but 15 to 18 months there also would be our target from the day we start doing the construction.
We can take a volume assumption since FY 2026.
Volume assumption, obviously, you can't say that we commission the capacity and next month itself we'll be selling the full capacity. It doesn't happen, right? That buildup we have to take. Typically, in the first year of commissioning, 12 months, we think if we are doing 50%-60% utilization, we feel good. Because by third year or fourth year, we started aiming for about 75%-80%.
Yes, sir. That's why I asked this question regarding to Maharashtra, because the last two players who commissioned there, one is commissioned their kiln and one is the acquired capacity, they are not operating till 40% since last 15 months of operation. That's why I asked this question for the Maharashtra, because they are not operating till 40%.
That's why I'm not adding capacity in Maharashtra, no.
Got it, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of basic questions. If I have to go back a year or two, we were prioritizing Devapur expansion with the Tiroda grinding unit. I know that Tiroda got called off. Just why is now Chittapur given priority over Devapur? I just wanted to understand what's the change which is led to that.
See, the change came in, one, we do not have the grinding unit that we were setting up in Tiroda that sent us all over again on a wild goose chase to locate another site where we can put up the grinding unit. And without the grinding unit, I don't need more clinker in Devapur. Right? So that got delayed because we didn't have a grinding unit site. Right? In the meantime, at Chittapur, the demand changed more towards OPC from some very good customers, because of which my overall capacity of the plant, which 3 million tons when we speak about, 3 million tons is a certain assumption of OPC-PPC. In FY23 itself, I ran short of clinker at Chittapur. I have been mentioning that last quarter, today also I mentioned. So we can't get fixated with any decision taken. That's the definition of being agile. The moment we realize that Chittapur is opening up an opportunity, Devapur got delayed because Tiroda got cancelled. So what do? We still talk about Devapur first, or do we go and do business where it's available first? Very simple.
Got it. So that's the understanding I wanted. And yeah. Also just another basic question, like, so you took this plant shutdown in Chittapur in Q1, which impacted cost. Generally, like, just to understand, improve my understanding, generally, isn't monsoon considered a better month to take these kind of shutdowns, as these are lower demand periods? Why a plant shutdown taken in Q1?
Because we did not take the shutdown in last monsoon. We saved money on that. We continued to use the same refractory without incurring the cost till this year, April. After that, even 9, 10, 11 months is just about the maximum people use a kiln without maintenance. We used to 23 months. It couldn't have gone to 26 months.
Okay.
Very simple. The basic fundamentals.
Got it. No. So in this situation, like, this time when you take a maintenance, will this be a longer maintenance because you skipped one cycle, and will the cost also be higher?
No, somewhat, not too much. I mean, the cost would not change by more than 10-12% of the overall cost.
Okay.
But the utility wise, you see, instead of spending once in 9 months, I'm spending once in 23 months. Just see that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, then I understand. Yeah, there's you can't touch it. You risk the kiln itself. I understand that. Yeah.
Okay,
that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last two questions now. We have a question from the line of Vaibhav Jain, an independent investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, my questions are mostly answered previously. Just one suggestion regarding your opening remarks. I would suggest you put this in an investor presentation rather than, it saves you energy as well, and we can be prepared beforehand to ask questions. Otherwise, my questions have been answered.
Thank you so much. You see, in presentation, the reason I do it is twofold. One is the nuances that I can bring out in my delivery, I can't put that in the presentation, because then the presentation will be far too long, right? Because there's lots of nuances that I explain when I'm giving the information, right? But I do get the hint that you don't like my voice, so I'll try and speak less. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Naveen Sahadev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. And sir, of course, as always, the great initial introduction or the comments which take care of most of the questions. So I really request you to continue with that. Having said that, just a couple of questions. Sir, the capex you guided as of now for FY24, more like 1,000 crore. In the same way, assuming everything falls as per plan, what should we pencil in for 25?
25, I'm sort of still struggling to get my 1,000 crores going. That's my worry. But typically speaking, now if we go by the fact that we have said Chittapur should cost us close to 1,500, logically thinking, if I'm saying 600 in this financial year, so obviously I want to complete that within the next financial year, it'll be 900 crores for Chittapur itself, right? It's straightforward calculations.
Sure.
When the project is on, I spend 600, balances 900 to be spent, and I want the project to be ready by before the end of next financial year. So 900 for Chittapur. Maybe another 100-150 crores we may spend in Rajasthan in the meantime, parallel to, making all the preparations. But my own guess is there will be another 300 to 400 crores at least that you might need for the grinding unit in Madhya Pradesh, even before you start spending money at Devapur Line 4. So I would perhaps consider 1500 to 1700 in the next year all told, including grinding unit in Madhya Pradesh, including Devapur further plans, Rajasthan, and 900 crores in Sitapur.
Understood. Understood. And sir, just staying on this capacity, while we are looking at Chittapur line 2, an entire 3 million coming up there, are you also looking or exploring some possibility of a grinding unit more near, since West is now such a big market for us, as you just mentioned in your initial comments, so new grinding units near Patas or Solapur, where other peers have also, I think, have some grinding units. Is there an option to explore there, or you will... you sure that Chittapur is where you want an entire 3 million ton to get commissioned?
Look, in life, there is nothing that I assume forever. At the time that we are taking the decision, the suggestion had come to me earlier also, this area that you're talking about. We've actually gone and done an in-depth study of the availability of fly ash and the cost of fly ash, which is available from now onwards, given all the existing capacities. And that didn't look very promising. So unless one of those assets comes up for sale at a price which is reasonable, the Chittapur plan is the only plan we have. Because there's no more space for any more grinding unit to keep getting fly ash in the quantum that we need. Right? So some people are pointing or some fingers at some of the grinding units which might come up for sale. If it does come up, we'll keep our eyes and ears open and then we might rethink. But as of now, we don't see that opportunity. And putting up a grinding unit there didn't get us, despite availability of higher incentives in Maharashtra, the differential in the fly ash cost and the capex that a separate grinding unit needs compared to the capex that we do when we are doing it on site is very different, right? So while we considered the incentives in Maharashtra, vis-a-vis that we were looking at the additional capex, which may be that the additional capex can be recovered from the incentives that the Maharashtra government gives. But the definition in the fly ash cost is sort of taking away a lot of that protection.
Got it. Got it. Just one last question. Will Devapur now go for maintenance shutdown in the current quarter, like typically Q2C maintenance shutdown, or that could be, you're saying,
No. Good that you asked the question. One line in Devapur, we already done the shutdown in the month of July. We just completed it. And there's one more line to be done at Devapur that we'll do in the next quarter. But then the impact will be not as stark as here because we don't need to move any clinker. We just need to sort of utilize more. There are three lines in Devapur, right? So that makes it a lot easier, and those kilns are smaller, so the maintenance cost also, it's also in the functional size of the kiln, right? So the Chittapur kiln is the biggest kiln that we have, 6,000 TPD. Devapur, the biggest is 4,000 TPD. So it's size-wise and in terms of availability of clinker, we have done the maintenance in July, we'll do one more in October. So they will come, but the impact will not be as dramatic as we have in Chittapur.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I personally make all my comments as opening comments themselves. So my closing comment only is to thank all the participants once again for sparing the time and listen to my long introduction that I give and ask me questions which are intelligent and which push our thinking even further. This granting unit in Maharashtra incentives question was very intelligent, which came to me earlier. We worked on that and today I was able to give a response to that. And I really appreciate the engagement that all of you show in our business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.